We're at the Desiring God conference with author Adrian Warnock. Adrian, how are you?
I'm really good, thanks. Yeah, not too jet lagged.
Thanks for taking the time to sit with us and talk about your new book. Now, what is the title of the book?
Right, the full title is Hope Reborn: How to Become a Christian and Live for Jesus.
Okay, so kind of take us through the brief overview there, if you don't mind.
Sure. So, I mean, the book is about hope, and obviously hope is something that we as Christians have, which nobody else does, really. The Bible tells us to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us. And sometimes when Christians are asked, you know, about their faith, they're asked, you know, what is it you believe? And what is it that makes someone a Christian? Actually, even Christians who've been Christians a long time sometimes don't really know how to answer that question. You know, how do I become a Christian? And like, oh, it's the best question to be asked in one sense, but if you don't know the answer, it's really embarrassing. So the idea of this book really is for the Christian to be able to read about the gospel again and afresh, and for it to inspire them, but also instruct them, because obviously we all need to get back to the gospel repeatedly. But actually, in a sense, the main target is for those who don't know. And so the idea is to help you to be able to explain it better to them, or maybe to go through this book with someone who's inquiring about the gospel, wants to understand more about what it is Christians believe. So this book, I mean, it's not got any apologetics in and all that. That's great. There's lots of other books like that. But what this book is really for is for the person who wants to say, what does the Bible say a Christian is? How does one become one? And if I become one, what difference is it going to make to my life? And how should I live now that I am a Christian? How should I read the Bible? How should I pray? What do I look for in a church to join? And what about getting baptized? What's all that about? And so this book takes us through a real simple explanation of the gospel and helps us to take our first steps in faith.
So walk us a little bit through that. You start with sin and then move toward need for a savior.
Yeah, that's right. So the first chapter is called The Pharisee and the Prostitute. And we launch straight into a meeting that Jesus had at a Pharisee's house when a woman who was known as a woman of the city comes in and actually starts crying over his feet and wipes his feet, cleans his feet. And actually, it's really interesting to see the way in that story that Jesus reacts to both the Pharisee, who's like a very religious person, holy man, and to this sinner, this woman who was a woman of no repute, a woman who most people wouldn't want anything to do with. And actually, there are two types of people, really, who are not Christians. There are those who know that they're sinners, and there are those that think they're not. The reality, of course, we're all sinners. We're all in the same boat. But actually, what we're trying to show here is that Christians are not angry people. God is not hateful towards sinners. He loves us. He loves everybody. And obviously, he doesn't want to leave us the way we are, but he loves us no matter what we've done. And I think that's the whole idea of that chapter. We then move into a chapter that just explains the gospel about how Jesus died for us, about how Jesus rose again for us, and why that matters. We then move from there. The next chapter literally answers that question. How do I actually become a Christian? What do I do? What do I need to pray? What steps do I need to take? What does repentance mean? We shouldn't assume that people know what these words mean. And so each time we come to a word like that, some of them need to be used, you know, but we explain it. We have a little box and we explain what that word means. And then the following chapters talk about, you know, okay, so what about baptism? What about joining a church? What about this thing called the Holy Spirit? Because, you know, when Peter was asked, you know, how do I become a Christian? What he actually said was, repent, be baptized, you will receive the Holy Spirit. And then later on in that chapter, it's clear that those people join the church. So there are those four steps that are very important. And receiving the Spirit is obviously something that's ongoing in our lives. I mean, the Holy Spirit is in every Christian, but obviously we all have to welcome his presence, and there's so much that he does in our lives. And we can only really scratch the surface of that in this book, but we do talk a bit about it to help people understand what they should be looking for in their Christian walk. And then the book closes out with a chapter on how we change, how when we're a Christian, our lives begin to change and what that looks like. So really, sanctification, what is that all about? Beginner's guide to sanctification, if you like. And then simply a chapter about how do we read the Bible and where should we start? I mean, you know, if I've never read the Bible before, should I just pick it up and begin reading it at the beginning like any other book? Well, probably not, actually. Not if you've never read it before. It might be better to go to, say, John's Gospel and learn about Jesus. And, you know, John actually wrote at the end, he let us into a secret at the end of his gospel, said, I've written this book so that you might believe. And one of the old-time preachers used to dare his hearers, say, I dare you to read the Gospel of John and not end up as a Christian by the end. And so we encourage people to go to the Gospel of John, but also help them to understand how to approach the Bible, because it's an ancient book and, you know, people don't understand how to read it. So we just give them a few pointers on that. And then the final chapter is a few pointers similarly, really, about how to pray. You know, should I pray out loud, or, you know, what should I pray and how should I pray, and how should I go about that in a busy world where, you know, our phones go off all the time and all the rest of it? How do we try and find time out of that to grow in our walk with God? So actually, although it is a book for new Christians, you can probably tell from what I've been saying that it's a great refresher for anyone, really. And let's be honest, which of us couldn't do with a bit of help in our prayer life, or indeed even in our approach to the Bible? So, you know, it's not a complicated book. It's a book, you know, every now and then, I think it's good for every Christian to examine themselves, the Bible says, and to see if you're in the faith, you know. And I was talking with some people recently and saying, look, you know, one of the worst things for a pastor, it really, would be to wake up in heaven and realize that some of his people are not there. Mm. Because you can go to church and not be a Christian, just like you can go to McDonald's and not be a hamburger. I mean, it's a cliche, but it's true. You know, and actually, even as a pastor, you know, that would even be worse if your pastor wasn't saved as well. So the goal of this book really is to help us examine ourselves, first of all, make sure that we really are saved, make sure that we really understand the gospel, that we're living in the good of the gospel ourselves, and that we're walking with Jesus, we're growing with him, and that we're enthusiastic about our faith so that we can then share it with other people. And of course, reading this book will give you, you know, nice simple ways to explain this gospel that hopefully will sound a bit fresh, you know, and a bit new and a bit different. But actually, it's just the same old message that we've been preaching for thousands of years.
So it sounds like you wrote the book to be accessible to both Christians and non-Christians,
yes,
or Christian, just regular church members in the pew.
Yes, that's right.
It's not like a heavy theological.
Yeah, that's right. So exactly. So one of the first people to read the book locally, who wasn't involved in helping to edit it, was a young girl, 15-year-old girl, grew up as a Catholic. Parents weren't that keen, didn't really explain that much to her. Then she decided to start going to an evangelical church, and wanted to like live as a Christian. And I think she'd made some kind of response. But the thing was, the church she was going to was assuming so much in the preaching. Mm. You know, and you, in a way, you can't go through everything every week, or at least not systematically. And so she got hold of the book, she read it, and she said, oh, she said, I had so many questions about my faith, but this book's answered all of them. And now I feel ready to get going on my my Christian work, my Christian journey. So, you know, the idea really is that someone could read this book. They could read it in an evening or in a couple of evenings or in a week, however long they want. But it's not going to take them long. It's only 120 pages or something. And it will set them up for their Christian walk. And I just think so many people, they get saved on a fragment of truth. You know, it happens so often that someone, you know, maybe there's an emotional response or something happens in their life. They hear a sentence in a sermon and they maybe don't hear the rest of it. Perhaps the sermon was great, actually, but they didn't hear all of it. They just heard that one sentence that grabbed them, and they thought, yeah, I'm going to follow this Jesus. But now this book will help them get their foundation straight, so that instead of kind of bumbling along for years, which some of us do, and then eventually realizing, oh, that's what it meant, actually we can hopefully start out in a better way. And if, you know, we have been going a long time, to double check our foundations and get them firm again.
Now, where can our members go to get the book?
Well, the easiest thing is just to go to hopereborn.com, because if you go there, then there is a couple of links to where you can buy it, both in the US and obviously in the UK as well. And those places are actually cheaper than Amazon at the moment, the prices there. We're talking about $5, I think, is, or just over $5 for a book from there if you buy it direct from hope.com. is, you know, I think you're saving yourself a couple of bucks. And what we found, some of our members in our church are, you know, we have been buying like 5 copies each, you know, so that they can give some to, you know, to their friends or their family or perhaps to their unsaved husband. I was talking to one lady just the other day who's enjoying the book for herself, but she's very deliberately leaving it around in the lounge because her husband's not saved and she wants him to read it, you know.
Oh, that's great. Well, that sounds, I can't wait to dig into it. That sounds like a great resource. Thank you for talking to us.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
So that was just providential that we bumped into him. He didn't really know us. He even said, when I said, hey, I recognize you from the blog, he was like, oh, well, you have me at a disadvantage. You know, I mean, I knew a lot about him. He didn't know about us, but in the course of talking, it was just encouraging to get connected with him. And it was encouraging to hear about this new book that him and Tope have. I just think it's going to be a valuable resource, and I'm looking forward to it. We also got a chance to talk with Daniel Montgomery.
Yeah, Daniel is a pastor at Sojourn Church in Louisville, and author of Proof,